G'day everyone, welcome back to Free Kick, and you are joining us today for our Collingwood pre-season preview episode for 2025. I am joined by co-host Mel. How are you going?
I'm good. I'm excited to be back for the new season. And it's always good to start our club reviews at the bottom. So today we're starting with Collingwood, the Wooden Spooners for 2024. The downside is that they only won one game last year, but the upside is that it can only get better this season.
They also won that game in less than ideal circumstances with a goal that shouldn't have been taken away from Gold Coast. So you'd hope that it can only go up, but it actually could have been worse.
It could have been worse. They were the league's lowest scoring team, and they did have the lowest inside 50 count, so it was already pretty bad. But the hope for this year is that they've had a lot of movement in the off-season, and so they're kind of starting afresh. They've cleaned house a little bit and delisted six players. Unfortunately, though, they also had the retirement of two important players in Stacey Livingston and Aisling Sheridan. But they've picked up two players in the trade season, so one of which is our interviewee, Mattea Breed, so can't wait to hear from her shortly. And they also picked up Ayrley Runnels from Frio. They grabbed Kellyanne Hogan from Ireland. Very excitingly, they picked up three in the draft, including the number one Ash pick.
That's staying in. Just go straight into your number one player. Who is that? Is that draft pick Centra?
Yes, the number one Ash pick was draft Centra, and they also grabbed Georgia Knight and Violet Patterson.
Well, before we hear about draft Centra, we'll got the chat to Mattea Breed. You're going to hear that right now.
G'day everyone, and we are very lucky to have a star new recruit for the Collingwood Magpies, Mattea Breed, with us today. Mattea, how are you going?
I'm great, thank you. Pleasure to be on board with you.
Pleasure to have you with us. So you've just started the preseason at your new club. How's that going so far? I understand that it's mostly been with the rehab group.
Yeah, no, it's been good. Not exactly what I expected coming into the team. Sort of went through the trade period, had played the whole season at Hawks, so wasn't too concerned with any injuries or niggles, but came back once the blackout period was over, and started training again and was having some issues with my knee again, which I did carry throughout the season. Kind of went through all the processes that I went through at Hawthorn, but with the Collingwood medical team, ended up kind of going well. We've explored every other avenue in terms of pain relief and in terms of trying to fix it. So it's probably a surgical route that we have to explore now. So, yeah, that was a bit of a shock, but taking it with my stride. I had surgery, but I'm actually 8 weeks post-op now, which is good. So tracking really well. And I was given a 4 to 6 month return to play.
Yeah, a bit disappointing, but I think one of the things that the Pies have done in recent seasons is brought in recruits knowing that they might need a little bit of rehab. Have you had any discussions with players like Nell Morris-Dalton who have gone through a similar process?
Yeah, I've actually, Annie Lee, who came across Carlton, yeah, she's in the same, well, not the same boat as me, but she's in rehab still at the moment. And yeah, obviously wasn't brought across with an injury, but got to play the one game at the Pies and then has been in rehab since. So she's been really good to lean on. I'm going to get coffee with her after this.
Very good.
But yeah, just making the most of that. I guess I feel like I'm actually in the best place possible to be doing the rehab because unfortunately the Pies weren't in a great spot last year with their injuries within the list. And so there's a lot of people to lean on. I've been doing a lot of stuff with, you know, like Bree and Britt, who have kind of gone through longer term injuries. Although mine's not as long, obviously, but just around the mindset and things like that. So it's actually been really beneficial, thankfully. Yeah,
fantastic. That's really great to hear. So as you said, you've moved to the Pies from the Hawks at the end of last season. Can you just tell us a bit about the decision behind the move and I guess how the Pies have differed from the Hawks so far?
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of different factors in making the decision. When I signed with Hawks last year, it was just another year on top of the year that I'd already done in 2023. And I think that initially signing that, there was a bit of uncertainty about whether I was actually going to stay in Melbourne post that year. I'm not sure if you're aware, but I was in Adelaide before I was drafted. And so I did have a lot of pull to go back to Adelaide throughout that time. And then, yeah, coming in 2024, it was just completely different. I mean, you can see it from a performance perspective in terms of the team going from like a, I think it was a bottom four finish to a like what finished second on the ladder. It just felt like I'd come back in and I'd actually like already been traded. It was a new team at the and yeah, last year was really enjoyable. I think that it was nice to have the connections that I'd already established in the first year, but the program itself was a lot more professional and kind of pushed everyone to go that extra mile, which was really good. So, in saying that, it was obviously really hard to leave the program, but there were just things in terms of I wanted to be more cemented in Melbourne. And I guess for me, like things on in the background in terms of work, and then in terms of like I had a dog in Adelaide, couldn't look after, stayed with some like family friends over there. And I really wanted to bring him across to make Melbourne feel more like Melbourne. So there were factors in terms of where I was living and all that sort of stuff. And it all kind of just contributed to the decision in the end. And yeah, the Pies just at the end of the day had an offer that was better suited to, I guess, my off-field life and on-field. Like even just as, in terms of like positioning and game time and that sort of stuff, that all weighed in as well. But I think that what I've been offered at the Pies has enabled me to focus more on my off-field life and enjoy that aspect, and I think that that will complement my on-field performance as well. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that goes, because I've felt this year a lot, like in itself doing the preseason here, I've felt so much more balanced and it's been really nice. I feel a lot more settled here, and I think that yeah has made focusing on rehab a lot easier and trying to get the best out of myself. It's yeah, it's been a lot easier, so it's nice.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And I think that leads to another very important question is, have you been reunited with your dog?
I have, yeah.
Excellent.
Happened. That was I think December, and then my lease had finished at the house that I was living with then, so I was sort of just in between. I did a fair bit of travel at the start of the year anyway. And then yeah, got a rental in Melbourne, got approved, and like literally a week later I had my dog here. So if you do hear
Fantastic.
that is very low. But I'm all the way out in Ringwood now, which is not ideal for the club, but yeah, plenty of yard space here. So the things you're willing to do for a dog.
Absolutely, absolutely. You mentioned that Hawthorn felt like a brand new club last year with the rise, and I think that's something that Collingwood would obviously be trying to emulate this year as well. Have you talked to Sam Wright about sort of the messaging and how the club's looking at this year in terms of their improvement at this stage?
Yeah, I mean, not in depth. I think when I had my initial meeting with them during the trade period, there was, I guess not reservations in the back of my mind, but being aware of where they finished as opposed to where Hawthorn finished, and what may be different in terms of like what I could get out of myself as an athlete. But I can say, like, hand on my heart, going in and speaking with him and Jesper Burgers at the Pies, I was genuinely like, this is just going to be the best. Like I really hope to, and I can't wait to be a part of this, because obviously I'd literally like just done that at the Hawks and kind of gone when I was at the Hawks, I didn't anticipate us doing as well as we did, but now I can see it and I've done it, and I feel like I look at Pies and I go, you guys are going to do really well, and put the things in place where I go, well, this is what paid off at Hawks as well. So it might not be the exact same, might not happen as quickly. I mean, everyone's different, and yeah, different like personnel and stuff like that. But I think just seeing the changes that they've made within the program from last year, obviously not having been there, but from hearing about it and talking with people about it, I think I'm like really excited, because I kind of go, oh yeah, we did that, or like we did that. Hawks, or maybe we can try this and all that sort of stuff. And I think that it feels that the group within the Pies have that same sort of like want that we had at Hawks that year. So I think it's really exciting.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And you mentioned before that, you know, you've had some really great leaders to lean on, especially Bree Davey and Britt Benici, who have gone through similar rehab situations to what you're going through at the moment. You made your name as a, you know, strong inside midfielder at Hawthorn, and you're joining a team that does have a really strong midfield core already. Have you talked to the coaching staff about how you're going to fit into those midfield rotations at this stage?
The discussions I had, like I said, around that initial trade period, for the on-field stuff, it was, you know, probably playing a bit in the midfield, but also playing a bit up forward. So I don't actually think I played any time up forward except for maybe one game at Hawks. But I was about 50% game time in strictly midfield at Hawks, whereas we'd probably look at trying to get a lot more game time out of me because what it's been described to me, and I could probably say it myself, but I don't like to feel big-headed, is that I'm more of an impact player.
Yes.
But I think just from like a, you know, a stamina point of view and like what I can do, I'm not an endurance athlete. I'm happy to, but I think that having a forward rotation and being able to impact when the ball is in the forward half as well, I think that will, help the team significantly. But I think that that'll also really like help me with my growth and where I want to take my footy. So yeah, that's what it'll look like in terms of rotations, hopefully. But I'll know a bit more on Monday because obviously those discussions were pre-surgery. So we'll see how that looks this year and how it's shaping up. But I think in terms of our midfield, like you said, you know, you've got your Britt Benici, Bree Davey, we've got Ash Centra now who's come in. But I think it just adds so much depth to the midfield. Like I think that I can really contribute there. And I think that at Hawks I had that sort of primary role of like a big body midfielder. I look at our list and I go, wow, like Bree and I can, like, it's not solely my role, you know. I think that I look at that and don't go, oh, I'm not competing for a role. I look at that and think, oh my God, I have more freedom to do things. Like, I'm not sort of, not that I felt pigeonholed, but I'm not strictly in this role. Like, I could have a balanced midfield role or know that if I am playing forward, I've got someone in there who can do what I can do better. I think it's really exciting. So, I'm very excited to see how it all pans out. I think there are a few people that are in that boat as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned Ash Centra, obviously a disappointing year for the Pies, but they do get the benefit of that number one pick. I think there's been few more exciting number one pick options than Ash Centra in recent years, and we're all super excited to see her out there this year. How's she been tracking so far in the preseason? Is she going to be a lock for the team in round one, do you reckon?
I think so. I mean, I hate the thought of putting that sort of pressure on her. I think she deals with it really well. I mean, if you're a number one draft pick, I've obviously never been through that, but I think that there would have been, a lot of noise going on. And I think that she's such a, what's the word? She just takes it all in her stride. I mean, I look at it and I go, you're a good kid. But we're hardly even older. I feel old saying that. But I think she's got a really good head on her shoulders. I think that her performance will come from, just being able to balance all the noise around her. And I hope she doesn't feel too much expectation from the outside world, because I think within the club, I don't feel that, you know, we put that sort of pressure on her. It's kind of just go and do your thing. Like, we all know what you're capable of doing. And I think that, I've seen other girls come in, you know, in their first year and kind of, you can tell, oh, you know, you'll take a bit of time. But I do think that, you know, I think she's got the right people around her in terms of coaching and then high performance staff to get her to her best self. But I think that, you know, fingers crossed and without putting the pressure on, I think she will come out firing and have that sort of immediate impact. And I think that that's really exciting because you don't get that often. And I think that, she'll just, go from strength to strength, which is really exciting.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we know she can have an impact through the midfield and up forward as well. You said you've got a bit of forward game time in yourself this year as well, hopefully. The Pies were missing a lot of forward power last year. We mentioned Nell Morris-Dalton and Kalinda Howarth both missing. for most of, if not all of the season. Has there been sort of discussions about how the forward line might structure up so far this year, given there's probably going to be a lot of different personnel running through there?
No, I think that those are the sort of discussions that I probably haven't been a part of as much, and just being out on the track and knowing who's sort of training in what positions. But I do think, you know, there is enough depth within the actual list itself. Like you said, you know, like I've probably been traded as a midfielder, but I do have the ability to go up forward and impact, and the same with Ash. But also, you know, we're really fortunate. Like, we got Georgia Knight in the class, and like, she is just a bundle of joy, and she's a gun, and she's another one who I think, you know, you might take a little bit of time to progress, but you're also going to do really well. Like, you know, you'll just like hit the ground running, but you're also not at your peak, and you have so much room for improvement. And like, I can't wait to see like that finished product. So that's exciting. That's, yeah, her up forward. But I think, you know, like Linda has been training really well as well. And I think she's just so like keen and hungry to be back out there, because when you, I mean, I don't even know when the last time she played footy was. It would have, like, I don't think she wouldn't have played all of last season. And I think she's had so many interruptions with her rehab on her knee, and she's been, you know, full training, and training really well as well from, you know, the footage I've seen and when I'm out on the track. And she's just hilarious as well. You know, she celebrates every little win, especially her own, which she just loved to see. But I think that's, you know, how hungry and like keen she is to be back out on the field. So I think she'll have a massive impact for us this year as well. So yeah, I hope that answers your question. I'm not 100% sure how it'll shape up, but yeah.
Very good. I mean, from what we saw of you last year, you say that you didn't really spend much time up forward, but you did take an absolute hanger in the forward half last year. Are we going to be seeing you running out of the goal square, taking massive hangers every week once you're back?
I mean, I hope so. I feel like redemption from last year, when you get so close to like two million velocity frequent flights, $1,000. I mean, I'd already promised my dad a golf buggy. no, I'm just joking. Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I think that's a really like a cool aspect to my game. Like, I think it's from a basketball background, but the ability to kind of get up in the air. And I think that's something I'm excited about. You get more opportunity to do that up forward. But I mean, just quietly, I probably might have made a deal or two with Tamara Smith at the Hawks that if she lets me on her shoulders, we might split the cash.
Oh, very good. Very good. And if you do need a golf buggy, I'm sure you can probably find one at Ringwood Costco for your dad. So that's probably a good option.
Exactly right.
I suppose the last area of the field, one that you'll be hoping to not have too much to do with, is the back line. They had a lot of experience go out of the back line last year, especially with the retirement of Stacey Livingston. But there's a lot of exciting young talent coming through. Lucy Cronin was a wonderful recruit last year. I guess the question there is, have you had many discussions with how the team defense is going to work, and whether there's going to be much change in the way that the team is defending?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know too much about, I mean, obviously we've touched on their defense last year as a whole. But I mean, I think that there's been a lot of focus on what this year's is, and I'm not sure how much information I'm allowed to give away. So I will be lightly on this, but yeah, I think that from looking at their games last year, there was a lot that was played in the defense, like in our sort of defensive half. And I know this year that we want to be more attacking and play more in our forward half, which is very exciting. I love it.
Yes.
Running defensively. So I think that will really, it'll really help with people like Lucy, who, you know, like had an amazing season, but there was also, because there was a lot of opportunity for her.
Correct.
But I think it'll help with her to kind of build her game around, you know, being able to see the field a bit more. I think she's already an amazing player, and she does have like good knowledge of the game and how to defend. But I think the way that we want to play will actually complement our defenders a bit more, instead of, you know, putting them under the pump so much. It's being more proactive. So, you know, when you watch like a Richo play or Jenna Richardson, she just looks amazing all the time. But it's because she gets those opportunities with the way that we played as a team to be like an intercept defender. You know, she's got that, like, however many in a game and has, like, a real impact, and then you've got, like, your Tilly Lucas Rhodes, who gets named as All-Australian for being able to be that runoff halfback sort of thing. And I think that, as weird as it sounds, I hope that there's the way that we want to play enables the back line to have more of an opportunity to actually be attacking as opposed to just defending. So, yeah, I think if we can pull it off, which I think we will, fingers crossed, that's the right idea, then I think it'll allow the opportunity for our defenders to have an even better year without it having to be as stressful as it was.
Absolutely. And you do say you want to be more attacking out of that defensive half. And so I have to ask, this is a question we've always been interested in from a fantasy perspective, which is, will we finally see friend of the pod, Ruby Slasher, getting into the back line again? I know she did just win a best and fairest as a midfielder, but we want her in that back line.
Yeah, I don't know. She did a pretty good job. I mean, it was pretty inconsistent in the midfield with some injuries, but I don't mind if she sticks around. She's not great voice on the field, so it does really help as a midfield group. But at the same time, it's very, very good to have good comms in the back line. So I don't know where they'll put her, because she's a bit of a utility now. You wouldn't consider her as much of a back line player as she was prior to this year. But, yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see for that one.
Yeah, I've been trying to advocate for her to get back into the ruck like she was when she was a very young player, but apparently that hasn't caught on. But
no one likes the ruck. It's awful.
No, absolutely. But yeah, hopefully that we'll see a bit of both. And the run out of the back line was obviously a feature of hers, so should be a good feature for the Pies going forward this year. We'll probably leave it there, but we do have one question we do love to ask everyone that comes on, which is, have you got a player that has been just tearing up the track so far in the preseason and you think set for a really big season for the Pies this year?
Yeah, actually, I think the first person that comes to mind would be Kalinda. I think, like I said before, just the hunger that she has to want to get out there, and like she's already got so much under her belt from the years that she's played prior, but I think that the hunger that she's got to get back out there, I think that it'll be really exciting for her this year. I'm excited to see what she's got in store.
Yeah, we're really excited for that too. Well, thank you so much, Matea, for coming on. I hope the rehab goes well, and we'll hopefully see you out there sooner rather than later. But otherwise, thank you so much.
All right, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Fascinating discussion there, Mel. Is there one takeaway that you may not have thought was fantasy relevant, but you enjoyed the most?
Well, I mean, the big one is that Matea is injured and might not be starting at the start of the season. I mean, what did she say? Two to four months? That's not looking likely for the start of the season. But also Annie Lee potentially injured as well. So a few nuggets in that one. Sounded like a really good chat with Matea. She just sounds like a lovely person and super easy to chat to. I will run into her in a Costco, and this is how that interview came about.
Really peeling back the curtain there to show how we make the sausage here at Free Kick. Look, I think it's pretty devastating that Tia is not going to be playing early in the season, and that optimism from about 10 minutes ago of, oh, everything's up from here, it's not looking great at the minute. However, if we want to talk optimism, fantasy relevancy, shoot, number one, who is it?
Yeah, so it's Centura. I mean, for her debut, number one draft pick, what more do we need to say, really? We heard from Matea that Collingwood are trying to not put her under too much pressure to perform, giving her status as like number one draft pick, but it sounds like she's got a really good head on her to be in the right headspace and put her physical prowess that we know she has in line and make an impact early. So everyone's really looking forward to what she can bring. And given she'll be coming in, you know, slightly above basement price being a rookie, she's going to be definitely one to grab.
She will be the most expensive rookie, technically, because she was the number one draft pick.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that she's pretty much a lock. It'll be fascinating to see where she plays and where she is as it positionally in the game. At this time of recording, we don't have that. But my guess, well, my hope is that she's a forward. My guess is that she'll be a midfielder in the actual fantasy platform. I just think that we know from seeing Collingwood last year, they were really struggling for talent, and Centra is going to bring that in spades immediately. I think she's got a higher upside than someone like Montana Ham, who still scored really well as a rookie when she went pick one to Sydney. So I think signs are good for picking her. Next player. Who's next?
Yeah. So it's a shame it can't be Mattea Breed. I was looking forward to having her here as number two until we heard that interview that she's injured. But, I mean, Liam, it was you and I doing this Collingwood pre-season preview last year, and I had Kalinda Howarth in number two. So we're going to chuck Kalinda Howarth back in number two again.
Time is a flat circle.
Yes, exactly. Her last season average was 53, but off one game, so we're not really looking too much into that. But we were really excited for her last season, and the same reasons still hold. So she's returning from injury, so she's going to be coming in discounted. She's going to be priced pretty low, but we've seen that she can be averaging like those mid-50s or so at her previous club. She's a vital inside 50 target, so she's going to be well used when she gets on the ground, and I'm sure Collingwood are super excited for her to get out there. But then also you add onto all of that the fact that she's now missed out on quite a bit of footy, and so she must be so excited to get out there and just run around. And we hear from Mattea she's hungry to get back into footy, so I think that's really going to add additional value for her.
Yeah, she's going to be a forward by the sounds of it, and she's played five seasons to date, and her lowest average is 45. She's going to come priced in the 30s. I think that there's going to be enough value there. I'm really keen to see how that forward line at Collingwood shapes up in the preseason, because that was their massive weakness last year. They've added some midfield talent. Will Kalinda Howarth be someone who can enliven their forward line and get the ball going in there more often? I'm fascinated to see. It's not a lock by any means, but I love it at the pick at two.
Yeah, I mean, we can't be calling locks this early in our club review series because otherwise we're going to have 500 players on our team. Kalinda Howarth
never
is someone I've penciled in. And then, so number three, it's got to be Bree Davey. I mean, she's always been great. We add to the fact that she had a slow season last season because she got concussed at the start of game three, which was in the Collingwood double week. So she got a pretty low score there and then missed a few games. So her average from last season was about 70 over five games. If we think that that could be bumped up just from her playing at full health for more games, that means that she could be getting back to her season eight average of 90, which is 20 points of upside, which is huge for a midfielder. And I'm now concerned that I'm going to have too many Collingwood players.
Oh, yeah. Look, that's a dangerous thing. We're talking about the Wooden Spooners from last year and the second lowest fantasy scoring team in total. Yeah, look, there could be 20 points of upside. You know, she comes in priced at 68. Over under, games played healthy, 6.8.
What? What was the question?
Over or under, games played whilst healthy for Bree Davey. 6.8 is the line. Are you over that or are you under that?
It's out of 12, so surely over.
Look, she's played. She hasn't played a full season since season 5. It's the last time she played every single game in his season. So I am.
Until now.
Until everything's possible. You know, everyone's injury prone until they aren't. But yeah, look, I personally think that she's a watch to see if she can recapture that form. I just don't know if I trust her ability to stay healthy. She only had 69% time on ground last year. I think that's a real big concern. Those floor scores are going to keep popping up. I'm worried for that reason, but wouldn't be shocked if by round three it was like, oh yeah, Bree's back.
Yeah, I guess one of the things to look at would be if what Mattea was talking about, where kind of because we've got Bree Davey as that strong-bodied midfielder in there, it frees up Mattea to be a bit more forward when she is playing. But if it's the vice versa, and this kind of, because Bree is a bit more injury-prone, kind of Mattea subs into that role and Bree gets less and less game time or is potentially playing less altogether, that would be a reason to steer clear. But I guess we do have the benefit of maybe only Bree Davey playing the first few games to kind of watch and see how that unfolds.
Yeah, look, a fascinating one. I want to hear your next player, though. I think this is one that I'm fascinated by.
Yeah, so moving away from the midfielders and forwards, we're going to defence with Lucy Cronin. So in her debut season last year, she averaged 46.2 over her 11 games, which was a really strong first season. She got a Rising Star nomination. She like played all the games and she slotted into that fullback role.
Slitted into.
Yep. And, like, the thing I like about Lucy Cronin, as well as the fact that she had a really strong year last year, is that she's got this high ceiling of 81, which is great. But also she was taking quite a few of the kick-ins last season. I think she was second most for Collingwood, Stacey Livingston being number one. Stacey Livingston since retired, so maybe there's the potential for Lucy to get more involved there. She was also on the ground like almost 100% of the games. 95% in total over 11 games is huge. I mean, Collingwood desperately needed her back there in defence. And I guess the hope would be that she's not as much of a vital cog this season. But I don't think that that's too much of a red flag for her fantasy scoring. I think there's still enough things leaning in her favour here. And the fact that she's coming in quite cheap, I think, is making her a pretty good pick in the back line.
Yeah, and I think backline is going to be the toughest spot to pick this year. You talked about that 81. That was a pretty spectacular performance with 20 disposals and 7 marks against the Western Bulldogs, who, funnily enough, allowed the most points to defenders last year. I do think, though, that if you go from that point onwards, she averaged nearly 59 because her first three games started with a 17, a 33, a 23, and a 28. Mm. From that point onwards, that was that game against the Western Bulldog, I think, kind of showed Collingwood and showed Lucy to some extent, like the potential that she has. I think that we'd want to see her be the main kick mark player out of defence. I think with Stacey Livingston gone, it's going to be a watch, but I'm fascinated by this option. I think she's going to be, I think she has the potential to be a Serene Watson type of footballer. That's my personal opinion. Mm. And so what Serene was a, one of the most important picks of last year. So I'm going to be keeping a massive eye on this one. I think she'd be going into my team more than Bree Davey would at the start of when the game launches.
Fair. Well, then I've also got another defender option for you in Annie Lee. So, oh, this was a blow listening to that Matea interview because I did not realise that she was not going to be healed yet from her injury last year. So Annie Lee played one game last season with a score of 40. So again, not one to trust from their last season's fantasy average. But that means she'll be coming in discounted, pretty much rookie priced, I imagine, after doing her knee in the first game of last year. So it's been quite a while, but apparently she's still in rehab, poor thing. She did have two low fantasy scoring games the year before, so she's been out of footy for a little while. However, she's had quite a few pre-seasons under her belt. Looking back at season 7, she had a ceiling of 51. Like, if we can go from someone that's going to come in priced at rookie to 51, if she's healthy, that would be great. But yeah, she doesn't, even though she's been around for quite a few years, she doesn't have that much experience under her belt because of all of these injuries. I think she's my number 5 because if I'm being super optimistic, she's going to be in, she's going to be healthy, she's going to be underpriced, and she's going to get up to that ceiling. Probably not all of those things are going to happen, but she's definitely one to be watching because she ticks a lot of those boxes.
Yeah, we do like those rookie price players who have had a number of pre-seasons, but I think you summed it up nicely. There are some reasons for optimism, but not very likely. If we're going to talk optimism, though, I don't have to look too far for my host special pick, and that's Sabs Frederick. She started the season on fire against Sydney, like rucked out of her skin. I think she had like 118, follows up the next week with a 93, but pretty clearly was hampered by a back injury as a result of a fantastic mark that she took in that Sydney game. She has 10 points of value just on what she'd averaged the year prior. And I still don't think that there's a ruck on that list at Collingwood. I think that Sab Frederick, like, I'm pretty sure that if we didn't have, Ali Morfitt as the kind of like number one candidate for an underpriced player, I think that Sab Frederick would be massively owned this year. I think that 10 points of value is sitting there right there in the face. And we know that, you know, most rucks in their best seasons are averaging in that like high 80s mark, and she's able to put together runs of games averaging that. So I'm personally hot on the idea of it. You know, if there was a draft platform, she'd be a great underpriced kind of late round flyer to take in the ruck.
Yeah, my only concern with Sabs Frederick is I know you say that there's that value there, but she's getting a bit older. She kind of did have a bit of an injury all of last season. I don't know if she's going to come in fit and firing and get back to that level. Almost the same concerns that you raised with Bree Davey, I'm almost feeling about Sabs Frederick, but I adore watching her. She's so tough. She will not let you down if she's your ruck in terms of entertainment value. She's a great player, but I don't know if I'm going to be putting her in my ruck spot for now.
You say, like, here's one thing to remember. Sabs Frederick's only 28. She feels older because she's been in the league the entire time, but she's one of those, like, I started in the league and just was there as a young player in the first season. So I think you're overstating how old she is and how injured
Crap,
she might
that's
be.
Not,
I think
she's younger than us. I just put that together. Oh, no, she's yes, young. She's got a whole life ahead of her.
Well saved, Mel. Well, I think that just about wraps up Collingwood. Hopefully you got something fascinating out of today's episode. Basically summarise Ash Centra in Everyone Else is on the Watch and Wait scoreboard.
Mm.
Hopefully, we'll get some other options. I personally think Lucy Cronin's going to be excellent. So make sure you subscribed to the Free Kick podcast feed where you will get all of our team previews this preseason. Cheers.